It's 8 o'clock time for the Chris Brake Show. That's what I heard.
Hey, I'm Chris Brake. That's John Rabson here with the magnificent, sexy, big-breasted Megan.
Oh, my God.
This is the Chris Brake Show. I have a pitch shifter on this. I think there is a pitch shifter on this. Am I wrong? Let's see. Check. Yeah, no, see? It was
it's a bass uke.
I should probably fix that before I forget. That's not what I wanted. Okay. Why am I out of... That's a pretty one. Okay. I'm Chris Brake, sitting here with my good friend John Rapp and the Megan of the hour. I feel like poo today.
Aww.
So I'm not going to host the show. I'm going to hand it over to Megan.
Oh, no.
All right, Megan.
Oh, my gosh. I'm honored. Just kidding. I don't know. Okay.
What are you talking about?
Right now? Like I'm doing it right now? Or what are you talking about?
Yeah, go.
So, Megan, top of the show, what did you have planned?
What did I have planned? Let's see. I planned on talking a little bit about Chris Brake today.
Oh, yeah.
I think we should throw it on over to, you know, talk about him a little bit. You know what I mean? Do we talk about Chris Brake enough? Do we know anything about Chris Brake?
I think we know a decent amount. We know
yeah,
that
probably.
He's...
You're right.
Be careful where you're going, Megan.
It'll be returned in kind. I did hear you came back from vacation, Megan. How did that go?
It was really lame. I wish I would have just stayed home.
Why? What, I mean, how could vacation be that bad?
Well, because I went with my family, first of all. So that was... You know, I don't know. They're fine.
Right.
But, like, we were in the car for 10 hours there, 10 hours back, and all we did was stay in the cabin. Like, we didn't go anywhere. We were in Pigeon Forge, and we didn't, like, go anywhere. There are plenty of museums that I would have liked to go to, but we just stayed.
You're in Tennessee?
Yeah. We just stayed together in this hotel, cabin, and my dad cooked stuff, and that's it.
Why didn't you guys break up and, like, you know, go out, like, in a little group or something, like you and your sister?
That's what my dad wanted to do. And
oh, he wanted you guys to stay in there and watch him cook, huh?
At one point, he said he was going to go to the, like, corner store, and then they come, like, him and my brother and his wife come back, like, 3 hours later, and they're like, oh, we went to these shops, and we got all this stuff for everybody but you, and...
Oh, they forgot about you?
I don't think they forgot. I just don't think they got me anything.
What'd they get?
Well, my dad got my sister, like, these, like, this poster and this little thing. I don't know. Just random stuff you get at, like, souvenir shops.
Do you get trashed on in the family, Megan? Like, you know, are you, like, the runt or something?
No, I'm the good one.
I know, but do you feel like, you know, people, you know, like, they didn't buy you a present? You know, is that a common thing?
Yeah. Yeah. Kind
you
of,
gotta stand
I guess.
Up for yourself, you know.
Well, I don't really care.
You gotta
really
turn
want
into
anything.
That female Bia Bia. Where's my present? Da, 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 you know.
Well, my brother and sisters are kind of spoiled, so they just get stuff all the time, and I never ask for anything, so I don't expect. But then all I wanted, was some ice cream. And
so you did want something. You wanted ice
cream.
You should have asked for it.
I did ask for it repeatedly. So we're driving by these ice cream places. I'm like, oh, there's an ice cream place. And, like, they're just like, oh, we'll do it later, you know. And then later comes and, like, oh, we never went to get ice cream. Sorry, Megan.
Yeah, that is a bummer.
But whatever. I didn't pay for anything. I don't know.
Well, see, you're the oldest.
Yeah.
So you've got three younger siblings.
Yes.
And plus they probably didn't want you right off the bat, right? Is that fair to say?
That is very fair to say. They were 15 when they had me. So, yeah, very fair to say they did not want me.
Do you help out with the family, like pitch in, like give back?
Oh, not really.
Oh, okay. Well,
I mean, not really. I don't know.
It's like a bank, Megan.
I'll cook something for a family gathering sometimes, but other than that, really, no.
It's not one of those things like on Dr. Phil where you had to raise the kids?
Yeah. I mean, when I was, like, my brother and sister are not much younger than me, so I had to, you know, cook and stuff sometimes or, like, babysit them when I was growing up. But that's, I mean, you know, I think everybody has to do that at some point, or a lot of people do with younger siblings.
Now, see, I always wished that I had to do that. I was like, you know, it'd be cool if I had, if my parents actually trusted me enough to let me watch a brother, you know, like a little brother, or a little sister or something, you know, like I do have a brother, but they never let me, they don't trust me to do anything.
Right.
So.
Well, my parents didn't really have any choice, I think. They worked late, and then they'd go out after work a lot.
Yeah.
So we just, you know, we didn't really care. We were just home.
Yeah, that's the bad thing about having stuff. It's like you have the luxury to, you know, say, oh, well, no, I'll take care of everything. But if you have a job and you got to go to da-da-da-da, somebody else has to step in.
Yeah.
That's how you learn. That's why I'm such an idiot. I never got to learn.
Yeah. I can't say that I enjoyed it. It was pretty lame. I wish I would have been able to do more as a kid, but
that's the other thing. So you wish that you didn't have one. So you know no one's ever happy, and it's just a whole ball of hate. So
yeah, I don't know. Is the Chris Break really not going to talk at all?
I don't know. I heard he was in a bad mood today. So
what's that about?
I don't know.
I don't know what to do. Why are you doing this to me?
I don't know. Oh, I got a question for you, Megan.
Okay.
I'll give you something to talk about. You weren't here last week.
I was not here last
week. And you never
week.
Told me you weren't coming. You sent a message that said, I might not come, but I'll let you know for sure.
I know.
And then you never told me you weren't for sure.
I know.
And we do the show at 8, and then at 10 p.m., you tagged yourself on Facebook doing karaoke at the bar.
Yeah, that was the real silver tuna there.
Well, yeah, okay, I didn't tag
what's
myself.
What's that about?
My sister, I don't know what happened. I can't say for sure what happened.
Well, did you go to the bar?
I did go to the bar. But that was after the show was over.
Yeah,
I was laying in a pack and get all my stuff ready, and I was tired. I worked that morning. And, I don't know. I know. What was that?
Oh, that's the sound of Skype. Sorry.
You're the host, Megan. You gotta, John, relay everything to Megan.
That was a Facebook beep, but I'm trying to queue up our secret guest.
We have a guest today. You have a guest today, Megan.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Did you do your research on this guy? Because, man, it's going to be a good interview if you did.
I did not.
What?
Did you just say he's a secret guest?
Well, not yes. Yes, it's a secret guest.
So I don't know. I don't know who it is.
That's true. How could you have?
Right. You guys don't tell me anything.
Megan, are you ready for your guest?
Okay.
You sound really nervous.
A little bit.
Well, let's get the guest on, I guess.
Great.
Let's see what this person thinks about stuff. Yeah, it's going to be an honor for you to talk to him.
I am what are you guys doing to me right now?
John is not in on this. I'm doing this by myself.
Why?
Because I wanted to see what would happen. I wanted to switch the show up a little bit.
Okay. All right.
All right, you are on with your guest, Megan.
I'm here.
Hello. How are you doing?
Oh, good, thanks. Yourself? Megan, is it?
Yes, Megan.
Okay, Warren's my name in Australia, down under.
Oh, that's cool. What do you do?
Yeah.
What do you do in Australia? They didn't tell me anything about you. I don't know what's going on right now.
I didn't feel like hosting the show, Warren, so I'm going to let Megan do it because I drank too much, man.
Oh, God.
Oh, okay. I saw something recently that you sort of opted out or copped out, whatever.
I'm copping out.
You were sleeping during the show, was it? Okay, well, sweet. Okay, just get into those doodles. See, whatever it is, they're getting more creative.
Yeah, you got to get on the fringe to put those doodles out, man. Well, thank God for Chris Break for living on the fringe and putting out the doodles.
You're the man.
I couldn't do it. Well, go ahead, Megan.
I don't know what to say.
I can lead for you if you like, mate.
That would be wonderful. I would love that.
No. Warren, don't make it easy for her. Megan, ask a question and then ask another question, then ask another question.
Okay. Warren, let's see, what part of Australia are you in?
I'm on the eastern side. We had a famous meeting in November, October last year called the G20. President Obama came and all the others, leaders of the world. Then afterward, in the media in the United States, they referred to Brisbane as being Melbourne, Australia, which is probably about 1,000 miles away. But I'm on the area called Queensland, a bit like the Florida area of the states.
Okay.
You know, the Sunshine State.
You see how easy this is, Megan?
Yeah.
All right. What's your next question?
It is, Megan. The art of the good interviewer is to just ask a simple question.
I've never given an interview before at all. Maybe
you don't have to.
Yeah.
No one would know unless you said that.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Let's move it along.
Sorry, God.
Just hit me with it and I'll respond.
Okay. Well, what do you do? What do you do in Australia? God.
Well, yeah, that's a good question.
That is a good question.
Yeah, that's a trigger. I have the distinction of being the longest held Australian captive outside wartime.
Oh, okay. They've told me about you. Okay, I see.
Yeah, I'm the one, right? So I'm a small time celebrity.
Yeah.
But I became a bigger celebrity once I came on the Chris Brake Show.
I believe that.
Because then I got, you know, at least one person in the United Kingdom and one person in some other countries listening, which is my bigger audience than I get in my own country.
Have you wanted to be famous, Warren?
Oh, image is what drives me, you know. Yeah, because I didn't start speaking till I was about 4 years old, right? But I always liked public speaking, you know. It's just that with my childhood, I went into children's homes, church homes, and there was no mama, right? And the other kids at about 4 years old didn't have much to say, you know. You get that, don't you? Like some kids just smile at you when they're toddlers. So by the time I got up,
seems like you try, you know, like you got that little bit of fame, and then it seems like you're kind of like chasing it, or you know what I mean?
Well, like I had already developed it, Chris, because whilst I was in China, you know, teaching at the universities, they have such a big population that even a very small portion of that as an audience is comparatively big to what we would have in our everyday lives. Do you get my drift?
Sorry, I just read a text from my sister. It said, this is mean.
Oh, okay. You just have another sip or something. I see you smoke inside as well. That's John Rapp's laugh. John Rapp is there. I can hear that laugh.
I think she was referring to me put Megan do the interview.
It is, though, like, really, like, I'm sweating profusely right now. And I don't know if it's because of the room or because I'm just so nervous right now.
It is hot. But
Warren's a good guy.
I believe that 100%.
No one would know, Megan. You keep apologizing, right? So once you apologize, then everyone becomes aware of any mistakes you make.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Remember, you're the master of the microphone. Or the mistress of the microphone.
You're the mistress of the microphone, Megan.
Okay.
Just spit it in there. Anything you want to say, come on, tell us something. Yeah. Ask me the most bizarre question, right? And it'll probably get something flowing.
Okay. Well, the most bizarre question. Well, who is your favorite Harry Potter character?
Sorry, we're breaking up a bit there. Who's the what?
That's a good excuse.
your favorite Harry Potter character. Have you watched Harry Potter? No.
Again, we.
Oh.
Now that's good. That's good. Okay. Now I can hear you.
Okay. Who is your favorite Harry Potter character? Do you watch Harry Potter?
That's a really good question because I've never actually watched Harry Potter, so I could only say Harry. I know what. Is it the guy that does the voice, Gandalf, Ian McKellen? The old English guy?
Yeah.
Ian McKellen.
Are we there?
Gandalf. I don't think he's in the Harry Potter series. It's a different guy.
Oh, that's the Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
I didn't know either.
Okay, look, you're breaking up a lot at this end. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Yeah. What does this sound like? Are we getting just too loud at once?
Very crackly and distorted. Are you close to the microphone?
We got this. Okay. I turned this all down a little bit. It should be good. But if it's not, let us know and I'll do a little bit more.
Okay. So look, do you know, is it Gandalf, Megan?
No, that's Lord of the Rings.
Megan,
Lord of the Rings. It wasn't that. That was shot in New Zealand, which is in Australia, but it's close.
Close enough. Australasia.
Let's just scratch that question because it's not.
Ask another one that he might be able to answer, and then I'll help you out.
Okay. At what age did you start dating? How about that? I've got a little sister, and she's asking about dating a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, not a problem. About the age of 14.
14.
Right. I lived in a country town, and what I quickly realized is once you got to the first year of high school, right, the girls would start, you know, contriving together, and they decide who was going to be matched with who, right? So in the first year of high school, I lived across the road from where I went to elementary school, and I went over for their annual fete, you know, or show. And just as I was about to leave, one girl said to me, she said, "You're Warren Rodwell, aren't you?" I go, "Yes, I am." And then she grabbed me and kissed me.
Oh, wow.
Right? And it was because the last year of high school, I was one of the school captains, and she must have seen me speaking on stage or with my little badge on. But then once I got into high school, the first year was settling into high school, but by the second year, you know, a friend of mine said, "Hey, do you want to? Can you come to a party with me?" Then, when I found out at the end of the night, all the girls sort of ushered the boys into a tent and got them under tables, kissing them, right? And I realized this was a setup, a definite setup. So, but like I said, it was just friendly because I had come from a country town. Let's say everyone was very friendly. Yeah, and they sort of knew each other.
Megan,
What about you, Megan? When did you start dating?
He flipped the script.
Right. I don't know. I guess I had boyfriends in like second grade. So like, what is that? Like 8. But real boyfriends probably
8.
6th grade. 6th grade, I had a real boyfriend for like 2 years.
So that's like 10 years old.
6th grade. That'd be like 12. Twelve.
Yeah.
You just got one up, Warren.
No.
Yeah, well, as I said, girls are supposed to develop 2 years before boys, you know. So
I don't think Megan stopped developing.
Oh, my God. What does that mean?
I'm getting a mental image here now.
Oh, Chris. Okay, I think I have a good question here. Okay.
I want to ask one. I wanted to follow your lead.
Okay.
What is your favorite Dawson's Creek character?
Oh, my God.
Dawson's Creek. Well, I think I only saw one show of that, and that might have been the last one. You got to remember, you know, that I lived in China for about 10 years or so, Chris. So the only shows in English I saw were really discussions between American and Chinese professors, or otherwise these really crazy sort of kung fu movies and high flying stuff. But Dawson's Creek, I'm not so familiar with, but I have watched Breaking Bad, you know, and I've got a favorite character in that. Yeah, you know.
That was not the question.
Dawson's Creek, okay. Anyone with the name Dawson.
Good answer. Right.
He's a Team Dawson.
All right. Megan. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, so I've watched a lot of documentaries about like dangerous animals and like insects and stuff in Australia. So I'm wondering if you have a cool story about like an encounter with some kind of dangerous something.
I just want to point out, I don't know if Warren Rodwell got a proper introduction. This man was kidnapped by Islamic terrorists and held hostage for 15 months Longest Australian held captive outside of wartime. He has books written about him. You know, he's
and a song, which we're going to talk about very soon, that John Rapp actually inspired. After we get through this preliminary stuff,
okay,
Megan.
Go ahead, Megan. I just wanted to point that out, just so we know who we're talking to.
Hey, Megan, with this, the animal thing.
Yeah.
Whenever the British, right, because Australia still has the Queen of England. We're like Canada, still part of the Commonwealth. But whenever the British travel, they hear these stories, and others do, about Australia, where we have a lot of bushland and a lot of animals, some dangerous ones, and insects, snakes, right? So when the English travel, they get warned about insects, mosquitoes and everything, and they say, beware of the beasties, right? Mm-hmm. So these little insects, beasties. But if you ever live near the coast, you know, the ocean, you get stung by little insects anyway. But a great cure for them is to get a dog to lick the bite afterward.
Oh.
Right? Now, I've been told at times when I've been in Thailand that mosquitoes like negative blood. Right. Hmm. Now, what's your blood group, Megan? Do you know that?
I do not know that, actually.
Okay.
John, do you know yours?
Definitely not. That's a personal question.
I don't either.
A personal question. Well, this is a
dangerous. No, that's totally fine.
Don't you have it on your driver's license?
I don't think so.
No.
Not here in the States, I guess not. Yeah, that's. I wish I did know it.
My blood type is heart. I have a heart.
Okay, well, I don't know how common that one is, you know, but, you know, it's probably in high demand.
It is in high demand.
Register with the Red Cross with that one.
The one in a million, because I've got the heart, too, so I guess we got each other's bags.
That means we're donors. That means if we get an accident and we die, someone, they can take our organs and give them to people.
Well, Megan, when I was probably about 8 or 9 years old, in the town I was from, we had a lookout, a hill above the town. And I went up there with my older brother and a couple of his friends. But in between the main lookout and the next one, the main lookout was called number one lookout. And the second lookout was called number two lookout in common, you know, common terms. But I got a bit tired in the heat. So I sat down on a rock and rested while my brother and his mates went further ahead. As I was resting, all of a sudden, I looked beside my leg and there was a snake. And this was my first encounter with a snake. And we have some very poisonous ones. So I sort of I moved very quickly. You know? So that was probably my closest encounter with them.
Okay.
But I've traveled on a fair few animals because I've been to about 50 countries in the world. And I would say this. You know, my favorite animal is a camel to ride on.
Why is
that? It's weird. It's a zigzag as they stand up.
Right.
But as you move along, it's the smoothest of rides. Yeah.
Huh.
Elephants are not so comfortable, yeah, because they rock backwards and forwards, you know. Mm-hmm. But camels, if ever there's, you know, you get a chance to get on a camel, I'm sure you'll enjoy it.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind. And I see camels every once in a while at zoos.
Right.
Hey, I've got a question too. Something I heard a rumor yesterday about Indianapolis. Now, I don't know if it's just an urban myth, but my barber, you know, he partly Italian, right? He told me that Indianapolis no longer has the biggest speedway, the car track, that the races aren't there anymore, that they go to Tom Cruise's track.
What?
Wherever Tom Cruise's thing is, further in the south. Now, is there any truth to that?
I'll tell you about Tom Cruise.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, well, tell me.
No, we don't know. It's not like a big rivalry. I don't know. I mean, we have a speedway. I mean, they still have the Indy 500.
We have the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We still do the Indianapolis 500 and the Brickyard 400 every year. And we got the Rolling Stones coming on the 4th of July to the infield of the Motor Speedway, and they're doing a huge concert.
Wow.
Wow.
That would be able to pack a few people in then, won't it? Yeah.
Yeah. I think they said 500,000 people. Is that right?
It's a big event. Yeah. Indianapolis has a big event sometimes.
It's the largest. John, let's not underestimate
this
event.
That's true. That's totally true.
The largest sporting event in the world.
Wow.
in our little town. Isn't that crazy, John?
It is crazy.
Have you ever been?
I have never been to the race. That's probably why I'm not, you know, but yeah.
I've never been either. Well, I went to the Brickyard.
It is a big deal, and people love it, you know.
If you work, it is people from all over the world. Like, I'm talking like Brazilian news teams fly in.
I'm with you. Because I said to this barber, I said, but, you know, it's, I said to the barber, one of the things about Indianapolis, you know, sort of the motor racing capital of the world. And he said, oh, that's just a brickworks, right? The brickworks have got knocked down, right? But everyone's going to the other one. I said, are you sure about that? But
it's a brickyard.
Yeah, well, but he hears things from different customers, you know, or clients. So he sort of refines it as he goes along. Because some of the things they try to tell you, I think some guy the other day tried to tell me that, what's your president's wife's name?
Michelle Obama.
Michelle, yeah, that's it.
That she was a different gender when she was born.
Did John tell you that? Was that John?
I said, I don't believe that. Right? And yeah,
John told me that.
That'd be a joke. That's just a joke.
Well, check it out, man. It's worth looking into. It's something weird. Yeah, I don't know. I've heard that theory too. I mean, there's some facts to support or whatever, but I'm not the one that told Warren about that. I'll get you some next time I'll run it down. I'm not saying that I believe it, but I'm saying I've definitely soaked up the info. And yeah, people are out there saying that
Michelle Obama's a man.
He's a man. Yeah, was born a man and now she's a woman.
You know what it is, Chris and John. Right? I mean, the Obamas are Republicans, aren't they?
No, Democrat.
The other way around. All right. I've heard this in the past from people that are Republicans. They latch on to an idea. Yeah. And they go, say, it's a Democrats. You know, it's a conspiracy. You know, I sort of go, no, either way, because I don't really, I'm not involved with American politics. I'm not an American. Right?
Yeah. But that's what happened. I would bet that the Republicans are more into the crazy, wild conspiracy stuff than Democrats are.
Yeah. Because the same guy said to me, he's in the chair, and he said, oh, look, and also, Obama wasn't born in America. That's an old one.
All right, it's
out of date.
If you looked that up,
I said at least someone produced papers to say you were in Hawaii. Question that. Bring up a new conspiracy, you know, not the old one. That's out of date.
Yeah, you got to feed the fire there. What do you think about that, Megan?
About Michelle Obama being a man?
Yeah.
If it's true, why is that an issue? Like, what's the deal?
Megan doesn't care if it's an issue.
This guy shrugged his shoulders. I said, well, what about the two daughters?
right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, John.
I haven't looked into the daughters yet.
What about the daughters?
That's a good one.
From an outside point of view, it's pretty easy where the show's going, right? The Obama show. He's on it's a swan song, you know, because he can only do, this is his last term. That's how he runs it out, right? But now he's going to go into advertisement and, you know, endorsements, and the girls will become models, and Michelle Obama will do guest appearances on TV shows if she isn't already doing them. It's pretty obvious where he's going.
Now, Warren, how do you know so much about American politics there?
We get glimpses of it, you know, but, you know, the America is the center of the universe. Right, so everything gets beamed out to the world, and in these days, especially since Barack Obama became president, a lot of people, except for the other white countries like Australia, right, everyone else thinks that all people in America are black.
Really?
Because right? You got your first black president. The other day online,
a lot of Americans will argue, and in fact, I think this is proven too, that Obama is not black.
Right, he's half and half.
Yeah.
Right.
So technically, we don't have a black president.
Yeah. Tell him that, Warren.
I'll do that, right?
Tell that Barbara about that.
You've got your four groups anyway, you know, your blacks, Hispanics, Asians, and your whites, but your whites are predominantly German ancestry, right?
We
these are just the things
we
that
need
come,
a black
jump
in this
out
room.
In the media.
Yeah.
But you knew that anyway. Now, with your name, like Chris, right, have you got a bit of German ancestry as well?
Well, we got two whites in here and one Mexican. So we
I'm
need.
Not, but if he's not good. Black, I'm not Mexican.
You're half Mexican, though, right?
Like, oh, you're half.
That still works. They call him black. We call you Mexican.
I don't know, Warren. I believe I'm Swedish, I believe. I think I'm Swedish.
Yeah, well, you get a fairly big build, so it's quite possible, you know, because the Swedes, the Scandinavians are fairly, you know, big build people.
You know? Hear that,
Megan? I've got a theory on that, too.
You've got a theory? Why are they so big over there?
Okay, well, when people moved out of Africa, the first people, they stopped off on the way, you know, in the Middle East. Some, of course, the first lot between the Ice Ages, they turned right and went up up around the Silk Road and went up to the top of Mongolia, and that's where the Chinese were. But during between the Ice Ages, the mountains rose, the Himalayans. That cut them off. So people didn't go that way. They kept going north. And those that, you know, went further, the Slavic tribes, you know, like from Yugoslav and what have you, they went up to Russia to first, then crossed over into places like Scandinavia and further. But they found, you know, you don't get much food in winter time there, so they've got to come back down.
Right? My brain settled, just shut off during this.
And they settled in the top of Germany and moved over to England, into the top of England.
This is right? your history.
That's where you got... Yes. Got the variations in language, right? In the north of England,
they also have a lot of crazy foods.
I hope you're taking this in, Megan.
They also, you know, they have a lot of custom foods, I know, so maybe that's why, too.
Now, Warren, I got a question for you.
Tell me.
I don't know anything you're talking about. How do you know this, and are you just making it up, laughing at us, thinking these dumb Americans will believe anything?
It's all... Today, it's all absolute fact, right? I've researched.
Today.
and I've listened to the news, but I had plenty of chance, especially while kidnapped, to piece things together. You know? And you've got to scrape your bottom of your mind now thinking, which point in history did that happen?
All right, we need
Then the light goes in your mind. You think, that's it. I've got it.
All right, we've only got about 10 minutes left, so we should get this back on track for the reason why you're here. But Megan, do you want to ask a specific question about kidnapped, about being kidnapped?
Is that okay?
What about a song? Are there any kidnapped songs?
Megan, are there any kidnapped songs?
Excellent question. Thanks, Megan. You're asking the question. Yes, there is. Right? A famous person by the name of John Rapp wrote a parody essay on Warren Rodwell last year, and he emailed it or sent it through. But in it, John Rapp, you know, wrote this thing, which was send up, and he said that the subject of Warren Rodwell has been covered intensively around the world. Yeah, and there are many factors which influence the development of Warren Rodwell. Given that influence, that this influence pervades our society, there are just not enough blues songs written about Warren Rodwell. Right. So when I read that, and it went on further, the social factors, economic factors, political factors, the conclusion. Right. Because John Rapp is something of a studious man, you know? he researches things and spreads his social network. You know, when he's not talking about things to do with, CERN or whatever it is, or you know,
CERN is crazy. Warren, I'm
impressed. I'm impressed, John. I didn't realize how respectful. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I did a lot of research on the Rodwell, the economic factors.
No, seriously, this is articles taken in great esteem.
Hey, you know, I do what I can.
So I can't hear you guys.
So there's a song about Warren Rodwell now.
Yes. So with the song, I thought to myself, that's fascinating. You know, and I know that John has some musical connections too, you know, and musical influence. I guess it's come from your gospel singing days, has it, John?
Pretty much.
Yeah, well, look, that's where Elvis came from, didn't it? You know,
yeah,
and various other ones.
Yeah, that's what we tell him.
And yeah, you know, also the famous Van Morrison.
Right,
you know, he got into a few spiritual things. So blues, I thought saxophone. Now I've never got a response back when I wrote to Van Morrison. Right, Elvis definitely didn't reply. You know? So I was thinking, eventually, yeah, it's a honk of burden, love. Yeah.
Nice.
Warren Rodwell impersonates Elvis on the Chris Briggs Show.
Yeah. But I thought, you know, I could imagine ultimately saxophone and piano together and someone, you know, really belting out a song. So anyway, a song has been produced. And it's
how do people go? Where can we go to hear this song?
Well, you could go to YouTube. You could go to Daily Motion, Vimeo. All you would have to do would be search this title, Situation Not Normal.
Oh, I thought
because
it was...
they. Sorry.
I don't know. I thought it was called something else.
Situation Not Normal. No, well, my
right.
biography.
You're right. That's what it's called.
Yeah, my biography is by a different name. Right? A Dr. Bob Beast. Yeah, he wrote that.
What's your autobiography? Is it 472 days held captive by the Abu Sayyaf? Am I close?
Close. That's the first part. Then hyphen, the survival of Australian Warren Rodwell. Just one small correction there, Chris. It's not an autobiography. It's a biography. Auto is when you write it yourself.
I don't think I said autobiography.
Okay, I might have misheard. But the
Warren, you're going to come on here and argue with me on my show?
Let's keep rolling along. Okay? Let's not get bogged down in small details when the world was ahead of us.
You wrote the song with Peter Bredioke.
Close. Peter Bredioke is a actually as of today, the 10th of April. Name. 2015 here in Australia, Peter is being inducted into the South Australian Music Hall of Fame.
Oh, he's the guy from the Twilights. There was a band in the 60s.
Yeah. Now, have you heard of Little River Band?
Yeah.
Megan?
Yes.
Okay. One of the singers, the lead singer, Glenn Shorrock, his band was the Twilights.
Right.
So they still perform, get together from time to time, but they're sort of, you know, the sort of like the rock legends of Australia. In 1964, they won a concert, an amateur concert. And then they, for the next 4 or 5 years, they toured, particularly the United Kingdom.
They did a Beatles tribute concert.
Oh, I love Beatles tribute concerts, John.
Yeah, Adelaide 2000.
Yeah, that's what they did. And they supported the Beatles at one time.
You know? Really?
Warren, I must know these people now. What do you mean?
Yeah.
So the guy from that band.
Look at you. Look at Warren Rodwell. You're over there. You're rolling around with rock stars, dude.
Yeah.
It's only the start. I can thank John Rapp for this, right?
You're welcome.
It's like the 7 degrees of separation, you know? Everyone is connected.
And it's all because Dale J was too lazy to write your song.
Well, yeah, he downloaded something from the internet and just put my name in the space and called it a parody, yes, an essay, right?
That's what John did, right?
Essay, yeah. I was a parody. It was well done from an academic point of view, right? But when I read it, so far as academic ease, you know, the language of academics, when I read through it, I thought, this is generic. Right?
We call it academic satire.
Right.
Okay, that's good. Academic satire.
Mechanical writing, you could call it that. But do we want to play a clip of this song?
Well, real
quick.
Yeah, well, I say we play that after we get you off here in a few minutes. We'll probably go in like 3 minutes. But then we'll play it so you don't have to sit here while we play it. But hold on. So you were just in the news again because you told a reporter that that you fear that you're not going to get paid for there's a compensation law that says if an Australian
Now the Daily Mail online also it does have an American connection as well, but it mainly beams news into the United Kingdom, right? Australia and the United Kingdom online.
But there's a law. And, there's an Australian law that says the survivors and families of victims of overseas attacks can claim up to $75,000 in compensation.
Yeah, that's it. Now, that's fairly new legislation, and our equivalent in Australia to the CIA is called ASIO, Australian Security Intelligence Office, right? And they made a recommendation that this terrorist group called Abu Sayyaf, who are now directly aligned with ISIL, right? Previously, they were aligned with Al-Qaeda, right? In 2013, ASIO recommended to the Australian Attorney General that this group, Abu Sayyaf, be relisted again as a terrorist group, and pretty much it was based on my incident, right? And all the indication there is that, you know, because the group got on YouTube in early 2013 and made demands partly to the Australian government, saying that to our brothers in Islam, this money is not going into our pockets, but we're going to refund our operations. Therefore, it makes them, that's terrorism, right?
The but singular they're not, act. But they're not, you're saying that with this law, though, they're not going to give you the $75,000?
Not yet.
Why not?
Right? Because it's got to the Attorney General's office. Now, the Prime Minister, because we don't have a president, the Prime Minister is supposed to rubber stamp it and say, yes, this is proclaimed as an act, my kidnapping. But, you know, have you heard of things like the Bali Nine execution?
Are you seriously worried about it? I mean, you are in the paper, like you're this most famous, you know, guy for getting, you know, abducted in Australia. Like, wouldn't they pretty much have to, you know, green light your application there?
Well, look, Chris, what it is, and it's in the article as well, is, you know, if you and this probably applies to you guys, I know it applies to John, right?
We're making a new article here.
If you are a WASP, you know, a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, you're a bit of a forgotten race, especially if you're male, right? Because you're not part of a disadvantaged group.
What makes someone Anglo-Saxon? What does that mean?
White.
Okay. Yeah, from Europe. So white
from
Protestant.
Yeah, okay.
I was a Protestant.
Well, okay, but it can apply to Catholics as well. But Catholics, you know, had their little own circles anyway.
Wask.
Yeah, and in the past, you know, if you weren't Catholic, if you wanted a job during Depression years and that, you had to either be a Catholic or a Freemason to get, you know, into circles.
We don't even want to get into that. So.
Okay, but look, now, the thing is that lots of attention in the last few months in Australia.
We only got about 10 seconds left here. We do have to move it along. But
my problem is I'm not female, I'm not a convicted drug smuggler, and I wasn't someone famous. So, therefore, I'm being overlooked.
What can we do to help you get the money? Write somebody a letter or something?
Spread the news around.
All right.
Yeah. Good. I think
we're
doing our part.
The Prime Minister says, I've never heard of him. Then we'll just say, hey, have a look at this.
We'll send the Prime Minister a letter, care of Chris Breakshow, to clear it all up.
I'll draw him a picture.
Emphasize in lots of Google search engines, Prime Minister of Australia, Warren Rodwell. Compensation.
All right.
And John's the man to do that. He knows how to do it.
Hey, I'm going to make a doodle for him. What do you want me to, what do you want it to be?
Well, look, just enter the name Tony Abbott.
You just want me to put Tony Abbott on the doodle?
No, just Google it and see what memes already exist, and you can work it out from there.
So I should be right? It should be like a drawing.
I'm being diplomatic at the moment.
What would be cool? Like, he'd draw a picture of some Vegemite or something. What would be appropriate? Obviously, it was a crazy example.
He's well known for trying to give out knighthoods, and he tried to give one to the Prince of the Queen's husband. But then he got laughed down.
Oh, what?
But again,
can I just draw a clown? I'm good at drawing clowns.
Look, I cannot make decisions for you. And in the sake of diplomacy intact, because this guy's still around in office, I need someone to sort of rubber stamp my thing. So I need to be a little guarded in what I say. But just Google his name, right? Okay.
What's his name?
I'm going to draw a clown that says, I love Tony Abbott.
Tony
Abbott. I'm sure if you Google memes with his name, M-E-M-E-S, you'll get some inspiration, Chris. The others have sort of already done some things. Right? But again,
I'm an original artist.
But this should probably actually help, you know, like some references to say, hey, you know, this guy did really good.
This thing is done. I'm going to do it right now.
A live doodle. This is going to be a first.
Get colorful.
Do you think he's going to appreciate it? Or is he just going to spit on it and throw
it
in the trash?
Well, you know, if you've got a connection with Rupert Murdoch, right, he owns Fairfax Media, and that's really what controls Australia, right? Maybe you could submit it as a cartoon. Right? Yeah. Or if there was something, have a look on YouTube and see what some of the stuff is about him.
Rupert Murdoch.
All my thing is, what we really need here in Australia is a president and a prime minister. A bit like you've got a president and a foreign secretary. You know, one to do international stuff and one to do domestic stuff. You know?
Right.
Our leaders can't handle both. You know?
Dale,
Damn. I need something to write with.
All right, thanks. All right, thank you so much for your time.
And I hear that John's looking forward to Hillary Clinton becoming president.
Yeah. Hillary Clinton president.
Can't you see I stopped?
Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Yeah.
All right, later.
All right, Ward. Thanks for being on, man. We'll catch up with you down the road.
Shall I listen to the song?
Yeah.
We're going to play it at the end of the episode.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, can you leave me online and I'll listen?
No. We can't do that. Take it easy, Warren.
Dale's calling. Do you want to talk to Dale J from Nashville?
John, don't you guys know I stopped doing this show? I'm over here drawing a picture now.
Oh, my God.
Megan, you want to
talk to Dale? Yeah, let's do it.
But I do need something to write with.
Oh, my God.
What is this? Dale calls us with his answering machine? Or is that him playing?
This is the most professional show ever.
Nashville recording artist Dale J. Gordon.
Like I work?
Nice. Doodle has been completed. Chris has shown me the doodle.
It's done. Done.
I love Tony Abbott with a clown.
There you go, Megan.
We'll send that off in the post next week. But this is Dale J on the line.
Oh, this is Dale J doing a song for Warren Rodwell.
How's it going?
Oh.
That's what I say. How's
it going over there?
Dale, Megan lost control of the show. Okay, I'm turning my mic off.
Oh, my God.
You're breaking up. I can't hear you.
Go ahead, Megan.
Oh. Hey, Dale, how's it going? Hello? Hello? I don't know what's going on.
I think he's in the background, like, talking to somebody.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, I didn't tell anybody, but I got a 5 minutes in Cape Side.
Oh, hello? Yeah?
That's why I was trying
hello
to
now?
Get off the phone
hello?
So we can do the 5 minutes in Cape Side.
Okay.
Hello?
Dale, meet Megan.
You try calling me back, see if the connection works. I don't get this.
What's going on?
Yeah, what's the problem now? Oh, he hung up. Mr. Rockstar.
Well, that was a waste. All right, do you want to do 5 minutes in Cape Side?
I don't know what that is.
Oh.
Sure.
I didn't even look through these.
I like
so
your
I
sense of adventure, Megan. I don't know what that is, but sure.
Let's
okay.
do it.
John, are you ready?
Yeah.
I don't even know what this is. Let's do...
You really didn't want to do this show at all today, did you?
Huh?
You're a mess.
I wanted you to do it.
Right.
No, there's a...
Megan, you did not let me down.
Well, okay.
You did good with Rodwell there. That was your first interview, you know?
All these scripts they're all labeled 1-2-3, 1-2-3, but I would imagine that all the ones that say 1 would be the same clip.
Oh, yeah, you can never count on those.
Yeah, things. See? Now I'm screwed up here. Guess who? What the fuck? Because I don't know how many scripts. There should be 3 scripts.
Is it probably all mixed up? Like 3 different scripts mixed up like a stack of cards?
There should be 3 scripts for everybody.
Well, that could make for an interesting read.
What's going on over there, guys?
Dale, hello. Nashville artist Dale J.
Dale? Hello? This isn't working.
Yeah, it's Dale's problem.
I can hear the show playing, but when you Skype me, I can't hear you guys when you're in.
Yeah, that's your problem, buddy. Okay.
I don't understand this.
So he can hear us on a delay.
I love Tony Abbott with a clown. There you go, Megan. We'll send that off.
Thanks for listening to the show out there. Nashville, Dale.
Out there in Dale Land. Yeah, this Cape Side's not gonna work. This shit's a fucking mess.
Wow.
All right.
Dale's from Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought he lived in like New York or something, New Jersey.
He moved.
Oh, okay.
Well, this is a Chris Break show. That's Megan. She's the host.
I'm the host.
John.
Yeah, well,
do you want to play that song?
Yeah. Oh, right. The Warren song?
Megan.
What?
I had so much I wanted to talk to you about last time.
Really?
I created a Tinder account.
You did?
See?
Oh, my God.
Oh, you have to hear what he did on it. That's
I've been talking people into getting Tinders. I think it's hilarious. What is it?
Do you have one?
No, I don't have one. I want everybody else to have one. I want to hear these stories.
I haven't met anybody off it yet. I don't know if I will. I just went on there so that I can feel good about myself.
Oh, wow.
To see, it's like, oh, yeah, I could get this chick.
Are you done with OkCupid then?
I've done that forever.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
But I just like it because it's like, yeah, I could get this chick. You know?
Yes.
I got some good-looking girls on here, Megan. Look
at
this.
I believe it.
Look at that one.
Okay.
Is that someone who swiped you?
That's a good. That's a cute girl.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She looks a little like your sister.
I don't think she looks anything like my sister at all.
Now you guys can hear me?
Yeah. Hello?
What's going on with your show?
Look.
She's cute too, yeah. Well, a little young for you, but...
that's funny.
She's 24.
Yeah, how old are you?
28.
Okay, sure.
What?
No, you're not. My birthday is in 2 months, and I'm going to be 29.
Happy birthday,
so I know you
Megan.
Are older than I am.
Look, this one's 30, and she's only 4 miles away.
Do it, Chris. Do it.
I'm not meeting any of these fucking people.
You're not going to meet any of those people?
No, I got one on Plus, these people have kids. Like,
you don't want to mess with that.
Yeah, but you know, you might want to pull a Rick on them and just, you know, just step up to the plate, you know, have a kid. Take care of someone else's kid, you know? I got a kid now. Oh, that's you? No, it's not my kid, but I got a kid. All right, Rick, right on.
I know a lot of people that have done that, though, really.
Right. You know, there's, you know, Chris Break the father, you know?
Dude, I can't, look,
chapter.
My life is a mess. Like,
having a kid would clean it up.
I can't meet any of these. My life is a mess. I can barely handle myself. Bringing somebody else into this equation, I don't know if that's the best thing for me or them.
Right. But it will cause you to grow, you know, like we were talking about earlier with Megan having to watch her sisters or whatever, you know, having to take care of someone else's kid, you know, you'd be a stronger Chris Brake on the other
end. But here's the thing, John.
There's a lot of them.
I don't have to do that.
Yeah, you don't have to. The luxury of choice.
Megan had to do that.
Yeah.
Now, I guess if I wanted, because, you know, what's Cuba Gooding say?
Show me the money.
Yeah.
Single mothers. Or wait, what is it?
No.
Single mothers don't date. Single mothers go to the circus.
Go. Oh, okay. Bebe's kids. Status.
Go to the zoo.
Yeah, yeah. You guys seen Bebe's kids?
I love Bebe's kids. Yeah. I grew up on Bebe's kids.
Okay. So I can't bring somebody into this shit.
Yeah.
But maybe I should.
You might find someone that's on the same page as you, you know?
I just have no desire. See, I don't have any desire to do anything.
That's the, you know, it'd be cool to meet someone that's on the same page, right? The other half of the Chris Break. Somebody that's on the same page.
I think they are. Dude, some of these people, you should hear some of these accounts. Because Megan, I'll tell you, I told John mine last time.
Your what?
My profile.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he has a special strategy.
Do
yeah.
It.
Here, check.
It's extreme honesty.
Oh, God. What? Really?
Oh, it changed my, oh, man. Look. Okay, I think my account screwed up because it put on Facebook.
No car, hygiene debatable. Semi-alcoholic, no money, nice guy, ? Debatable. Honest, 99% of the time, 6 feet tall, 220 pounds. Really?
I've got 15 matches with that profile, and they're all hot.
I bet, you know, that's, yeah. Just...
That's a really good picture of you, too, though. Like, if you're going to be honest.
Well, look at the next... No, I look at the here. Click my picture and then swipe left.
I would be interested in something like that. It's like, what? This person's crazy. You know, definitely something interesting.
I saw the other picture.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's an honest picture, right? The second one.
Yeah, you, of course your hair looked a lot better in that picture, though. I think you need a haircut. Yeah,
I do need a haircut.
I think you
know what I need to do, Megan?
What?
I need to take a selfie right now and post that as my profile picture.
to
be really honest,
live on the radio. Hey, check it out.
I want some selfies, Larry. You know, I think we need to. I don't think we do enough selfies, guys.
I don't do any selfies.
Yeah, so you're really lacking, John.
I'm on Snapchat. I do them a lot.
All right, Megan. Here's what we need.
Okay. What?
We all need to start taking selfies nonstop on our Instagram account.
Okay.
Our Instagram is Chris Break Show, and I think we'll set up a new password and then we'll all share it with each other.
Okay.
Do you have an Instagram account?
Yeah.
Oh, crap. So this is going to mess you up?
No.
Okay. But you should start taking pictures.
And putting them on the Chris Break Show.
Yeah.
Got it. We'll do.
Yeah.
We'll do.
I think you should do that.
Okay.
Is that what people do on Instagram? I've never been able to use Instagram. I don't have a phone.
John, you're really messed up.
I know.
You don't take selfies. You don't have an Instagram. How are you going to play this game, John?
I might have to break down and get a device. Is that Dale J chiming in again? That's that Nashville vibe.
I like it.
So I think we need selfies every day.
From each of us?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to take one right now and put it on Instagram. Just because I'm going to forget to do it if we don't do it now.
Yeah, I'm down for it.
You can't do it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I can't. Well, I can provide you with pictures. But, yeah, you guys go right ahead because I'm uncomfortable taking selfies.
That's the point.
Your selfies on your Facebook are really funny. Like, you're making really weird faces, I think, in some of them.
I got to do my hair.
I don't know.
She's talking to you, John.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, who knows what's on there? I tried to put them all in private, but.
Okay.
You think they look weird? I tried to take the normalest photo I could. And you say, oh, yeah, you're making a funny face. It's hilarious.
I think I'm thinking more of maybe your older Facebook
No, probably
stuff,
not, because we just talked on Facebook today. I'm sure you're thinking of the current one. It is kind of some smug-looking weird. See, I don't like taking pictures.
Yeah, I get it. I don't either.
I just took one selfie up on Instagram, and I'm going to take another one.
There's like an art of selfie, you know? I would watch a TED talk about that if it was 20 minutes or less. The art of the selfie. Megan,
That's a good one.
Do you ever do that duck face in the selfies, Megan?
No, I used to. I've looked at my MySpace, and I used to do it kind of just, but not like. Not like really.
Megan, do you want to talk to 40 ounce?
Yeah, Megan, you're running the show.
Well, it's a little late.
You have to answer quickly.
Sure.
Oh.
There he is.
Okay. Let's. Whoa.
Whoa.
Hello. Hello. Check. Check.
I check. 1, 2, 1, 2.
Megan, you're
40. You told me you were going to stop calling the show.
What?
And the people can't hear us, I guess.
Are you even recording the show?
Yeah, John, did your cord fall? Well, Dale said we kept cutting out.
Yeah, Warren heard it's just fine. It must.
That's debatable.
We had a cover. So I assume that 40, you cannot hear us now?
Cutting in and out.
Yeah. So this ain't going to happen. Megan, take a selfie of yourself.
All right, I got to put my hair down because I put it up because it's so hot in here.
See, I had to do my hair, too.
Yeah, there's an art of a selfie.
All right, we're all going to take two selfies apiece, and then this show's going to be over.
40's good at taking selfies. I think he's got that down.
I'm good at that.
He heard that.
Yeah, 40, you post selfies all day long.
No, it's one a day.
I'll show you a bad selfie. Anyone that I take.
I hear fucking not Chris. What's his name? John Rapp. I hear him in the background. I actually got some funny stories this time, and Chris, you're cutting in and out a little.
That's okay. I'm not the host today.
Better now. I just had to walk and buy a pack of cigarettes before a store closed or whatever. I'm good. Obviously, I showered. I went and got blood work, went and got tested for everything. I had to piss in the cup and shit, which was like, very funny.
John is taking a selfie right now, 40.
Why?
That's what we're doing now. We're taking selfies.
You know when I do it is when I get out of the shower because it's like I'm clean and feel better and stuff and like I'm trying to present like a better me. I don't take like 50 shots trying to get the right picture of my ugly face.
It's usually
I just take a fucking like picture once like every 2 days selfie wise. I didn't even know what the fuck that word meant for a long time.
It's a photo you
but
take
like,
of yourself.
No, I'm not so into myself as I'm just trying to get shit done.
No, that's cool. I like seeing them on there. It's like I
believe
up a 40.
Yeah, I believe we're. Let me hand that to John. I believe I'm embarrassed by the way I look. Like I don't like
cutting in and out.
I don't like putting pictures of myself up on the internet all the time.
Yeah.
But that's,
I don't ever put pictures of myself. I'll put pictures of something else.
That's why we must do this, though, because it's a challenge.
Yeah, well, it's a combination. There's pictures of, like, that I take of myself, but then there's also, like, pictures of that people take of me and, like, tag me in where I'm all fucked up.
Oh, yeah, I hate that.
Like I said, I'll take one when I get out of the shower or something, like when I feel good about myself, but then there's a lot of pictures that other people take when they're partying at my house and stuff, and then I just kind of look either cool Or like a total douchebag.
Watching John's face while he's posing for this picture is hilarious. Forty, thanks for calling in. I was worried when you told me you weren't going to call the show anymore.
What's going on with this connection?
Oh, well, with that said, we got to go, 40. You don't have to do that yet, John. John, I need that phone back. I need to finish this. I need that selfie machine back.
Okay.
Are you done? Did you take two selfies?
Yeah.
Did you post it?
You got a machine that makes selfies?
Well, how'd you take a second one if you didn't post it?
I hit back.
You got two of them.
Two apiece, 40. That's... Two times three equals six. Six pack.
So Chris,
six pack
Break
of pictures.
Is a pimp.
Six pack of pictures on the Instagram.
So
one,
you got
two
so
pics
Chris
of Chris
Break. Chris Break is a pimp that takes multiple selfies.
Chris Break is a pimp that takes two selfies in a row and puts them on Instagram in his show.
Okay.
This is the worst audio I've ever had.
Now, see, Megan.
I can't hear a goddamn thing.
Megan, I'll give you one little lesson. You're not doing anything wrong at all. You did a great job hosting the show today. But when there's silence like that.
I know. I've been meaning to say something to 40 since he was talking about peeing in a cup earlier, but I haven't got the right time to do it.
Well, maybe that 6 seconds of silence would have been the right time to do it. That sounded hot. Oh my gosh.
Shut up.
Otherwise, it's great.
I think I've heard that sound before.
Shut up.
Magic. I was about to tell you about a bunch of elaborate, funny ass shit, but
if you can tell us, we'll listen.
Okay, I posted it, I believe.
Oh my goodness. Whoa.
All I keep hearing is just cutting in and out.
Well, we were going to let you tell us, but it doesn't look like you can tell us now. You can tell us. If you don't start telling us in 3 seconds, we're going to go. You have 3 seconds to start telling us or we're going to go.
What can I tell you? I can't hear shit.
Okay. Thank you.
I heard that part, but
check out 40 Ounce Pimp on YouTube. You can find him on Facebook under Sean
Fortenbauer. Well, anyway, so fucking some niggers, not black. African Americans, not black.
We can't have that on the air.
Drew a fucking hex.
Why do you
put you on? You gotta act. You gotta play by the FCC.
We actually had a guy complain and said to call him.
Yeah, you're still on, but no N-word.
Man, this really sucks.
You're supposed to call somebody when you use the N-word.
Well, they threw a fucking beanbag.
We'll get them on next week.
Maddie Harden weird gay fucking clothing shit.
Why do you use that word?
Well, it just means ignorant. It's not racist. Well, anyway, they threw a fucking thing in my friend's car.
I don't think it means ignorant.
Yes, it does. Like, do you have a dictionary?
I think it means like downtrodden or something. I don't think it means ignorant.
No, it means ignorant. I'll look it up. I have an Oxford Valley Dictionary. I have an Oxford Dictionary right in front of me, as a matter of fact.
40 is the only guy who has the N-word bookmarked in his dictionary.
He's driving to go get us hash oil. And fucking, he fucking rides down the street. And am I still on?
Yes, continue.
I'll tell us. All right, well, anyway, fucking, I don't even care. I'll just talk to myself.
I want to know the answer.
He rolled down the street or whatever, and he followed him up to the next red light or whatever. It wasn't the guy that threw it at his car, but it was the people involved that threw it at his car. So he punched a dude through the passenger side window and punched him right in the fucking face. And I'm like, good for you.
Pow!
Yeah. He tried to, like, curse us. Like, and then it was trash for, like, two nights. So I'm going, fucking, like, so what now? Like, I finally got tested two days ago.
Segway!
I was a little concerned. And then I was like, this guy just put a fucking curse on us. So fucking suck my fucking nigger dick.
Jeez.
All right. 40 Ounce Pimp, everybody.
All right. Have a good night, 40.
What's wrong with your feedback?
Hang her
tonight?
Up. Hang it up.
Well, that was a...
I don't have a hang-up button. I don't know what that... Speaking of hang-ups, I don't know what his hang-up is with the N-word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the right way? Or maybe I have the hang up with the N word. That's what it is.
I don't think it's you. Go ahead and see what the public thinks about us using that word on the show. But well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. See, it's not us. It's
actually,
the
did you watch that roast to Justin Bieber? That was hilarious.
No, what did they do?
Snoop Dogg kind of got scolded. Snoop Dogg was up there like he used the N word like 30 times in his bit. And he's like, we drunk up here, me and my niggas, we doing this. And I mean, he said it like 30 times. And then when he was done, Kevin Hart came up and was like, Snoop, what are you doing? I was like, yep, here, us niggas. That ain't us. We don't do that. That's you. You're the one that's all fucked up, Snoop. We ain't fucked up here. Over there smoking a blunt. That ain't us, Snoop.
That's really funny.
You do a pretty good Kevin Hart.
That's really funny. Oh,
you got to check it out. Watch Snoop's and then watch the one. Watch Kevin Hart come on after him. And fucking... God. All right. That is the end.
Well, that was quite a ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. All right. My name's Chris Brake. Thank you, guys. ChrisBrakeShow.com. Check us out on Instagram, Twitter, everything. Join the Chris Breakers Party Room. And I'd like to thank Darren Snyder, Indian Tune. A special thanks to Frank at Radio Fubar, John G at 405, Dora Arg at NotYourRoleModel.wordpress.com, Mary Elizabeth Rumsey at MeAndRhyme.wordpress.com, Mike Moore from WFODix.com, Rich Barker from Punk Rock Night, where every Saturday night is Punk Rock Night.
Ron at Radio Max Music, Jeremy at Couch Potato Nation, Mark at Tangent Bound Network, Jack at The Mix FM, Suma Peter at Loud Town Online Radio, Tom at TalkStream Live, Mike at IRN Internet Radio Network.
The Mars Sound Man at United Sounds Choice. Tico at FJS, Peter at Cornucopia.
Toby at Radio Blitz, and Big Nate on the air at Cover Charge Radio.
Sorry, Megan, I had to cut you off there. There was a person that we had to skip.
Oh, okay.
But that person was actually two or three down on this list. And if you notice, John, the person's not on the list anymore. I took care of it beforehand. All right, thanks, guys.
I am Warren Richard Rodwell from Australia, being held captive by this group since December 5, 2011. The only solution to ensure my safety is to go with whatever they need. If I'm given my last wish is that you please help me out of here alive. Please, Madam Ambassador.
Shot through the end, the band rag across the leg, down to the boat. I heard these words from my host. Situation not normal. Situation not normal. See the state I'm in, real and dampened. So handsome. Situation not normal. Situation not normal. No one can I trust in the place that we're at. No sense of rescue, 'cause somehow we knew there's no turning back.
To my family, please do whatever to raise the $2 million they are asking for my release as soon as possible. I'm appealing to you. Please help me from here coordinate with my family to raise whatever money is being asked.
Situation. Not normal. Is just a bull's lie, a knife at my throat reminds me I'm still alive, strung up with hate, no chance of escape, bound and gagged, wrapped in situation, not normal. Read the media blackout. No one knows of my flight. Losing strength and weight. Barely able to survive. With the pain of suffering. Away almost everything. Ripcage too big for my skin. And a head held for ransom. Situation. Not normal.
Rodwell from Australia being held captive.
Okay, thank you very much. I hope you play it, and I know this is recording, and I hope you play it. Okay, see you guys.